Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastvamavidvishavahai, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 68. The modern activities of human society are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the activities of Gokara, cows and asses. Saeva Gokara, huh? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Everyone is acting in a bodily conception of life, involving society, friendship, and love for the improvement of economic and political conditions. And thus all activities are enacted in ignorance, because right? They're not connected to the Lord. It's just that it itself, right, the economic improvement, the political condition, improving that, the relationships that you have, it's all about doing that. It's not about how it's connected to the Lord, how that pleases the Lord, what's the relationship with the Lord, therefore you're acting in that way. You understand? So that's the weakness that's there. The Supreme Personality therefore comes to teach us how to act according to the Vedic principles, because the Vedic principle is how to do everything connected to Krishna. Right? And so therefore there's a lifestyle that matches it. We'll say, oh, it's just a lifestyle. Right? But the point is it's in a different category. We can't say it's the same, right? On the planet, there's so many different lifestyles that are there. What's the purpose of them, right? Sense gratification. Now, within that, whether it's more about money, more about relationships, more about political positions, more about excitement, whatever it is, then they'll have some variety, but bottom line is it's all sense gratification. So then you have a variety within those. So when we say, so we can't follow this, but what if the guy, but we're Westerners, we can't do that. What if the guy shows up in, let's say, a Japanese shirt or a Chinese shirt, you know, the one with those loops and the big buttons and stuff like that? Is anybody going to complain? Like that. What if he shows up in Japanese, you know, wooden shoes? Like that. Or they have one of those Middle Eastern scarves. It depends upon how they're wearing it and the particular arrangement of their hair, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, so many different things. Or what happens if someone shows up in a poncho? Does that mean now we're Mexican? You know? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that because it's all based on sense gratification, it works. You can balance it. It can make it fit. Right? But the Vedic, why it's different, is this actual central thing. Though people may use it for sense gratification, it's actually the lifestyle that's meant for serving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everything in connection to it is in consideration of that service to the Lord. That's what makes it different. That's why it is what it is. That's why we always use the Vedic principles, Vedic culture, Vedic literatures, the Vedas. It'll always be referred back to there. Because that then establishes that. Then within that you have variety. Bengalis do one thing, Gujaratis another, Brajbasis another, South Indies another. But it's within the same context. So it'll have variety according to the individual groups. Just like if it's about sense gratification, there's variety according to the individual groups. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you're going to have a difference there. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like Germany, you have your car. It's a good car. It's well maintained. But if you go over to, let's say, Paris, you don't have a car, no one's going to complain. You know, you have a bicycle. You know, it's bohemian. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? But Germans, you're riding a bicycle? You know, unless it's some high tech thing, then you know, why would you be riding a bicycle? You understand? So the point is these mentalities are there, but they're within one context. So within the Vedic, then you have a variety of contexts. But the point is it's always centered on the Lord. That's the principle. That's what makes it what it is. So you can't compare it to the others. It's in its own category. Does that make sense? In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preached that in this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed because people are so fallen. He gave this recommendation from the Shastras. Right? So it's still from the Shastra. You can't follow all the technical things that Shastra gives. Still from the Shastras, what's the recommendation? Right? Not that, oh, we can't follow the Vedic, throw out everything Vedic. Because we have to remember is that what's being thrown out, there's a good chance we don't even know about it. Right? Because when did we come in contact with Vedic literature? Right? After coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. So what have we learned, what Prabhupada has given us? That's what we know. So when we say, oh, the Vedic activities cannot be performed, we don't mean those. We mean the ones that we haven't come across. Right? Why? Because Lord Chaitanya already said, you know, gave what's the recommendation, so we're following that. So we have to be very, very careful about that one. Because otherwise, sometimes that's the tendency. It's already taken from so much down, just like we mentioned. Chapter Masya, there's actually 44 main rules, and then there's another 10 or 15 just side ones on top of that. So it's 50, 60 rules. Like that. We've just been asked, no, you know, how you say, no milk, no yogurt, no spinach, and no urdal. Yeah? And, you know, unless you're South Indian, how many people eat urdal? Right? If you're not from South, good chance you never eat urdal. You don't, probably don't even know what it looks like. You know? Does that make sense? So, other than that, you know, it's not a problem. Does that make sense? You know? How many people like spinach anyway? So, you know. So,
if you're vegan.
Yeah, and if you're vegan, then hey. If you're not South Indian, you're vegan. And you know, yeah, it's like you're doing chaturmasya all year. Yeah, so these four, or it's like the rules on Ekadasi. It's quite an elaborate festival. It starts from the after lunch from the day before Ekadasi until sundown on Dwadasi. That's if you follow the full Ekadasi vrata. So it's actually a 48-hour vrata or more. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that, then one is far. But all we have to do is just not eat grains or beans. You know?
So say, the Chaturmasya Popeye would have a problem.
Yeah, he'd have a problem. You know, it's like
olive oil would have a problem as a result.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd have to... That's when he should go for his Panchakarma treatment and all that, so he's not... Yeah. Okay, so here, so he gave this recommendation from the Shastras. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatyaranyata. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 17:21. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and this has proved very much effective in all places at all times. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to teach us Vedic principles intended for understanding Him. Vidaish cha saveraham eva vedyaha. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Out of causeless mercy, the Lord appears in different ages in His original Shuddha-Sattva transcendental body to elevate human society to the spiritual platform upon which they can truly benefit. Unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts of life. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tri dha tuke. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84-13. And concentrate on the activities of this ism and that ism, which they describe in different kinds of flowery language, right? That's the thing, is that The ism is about, as we mentioned before, the economic and social development so that they can get, you know, more sense gratification. But they use flowery language because it sounds bad if it's sense gratification. Right? Does that make sense? So that's always the... in culture, society, you're talking about sense gratification. Generally, they'll use very refined terms. You know, flowery words, phrases, you know.
Social justice.
Yes, social justice. Yeah. And then, how you say, and then if you're pushing that, then you add the W. Right? The warrior?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Then you... Yeah. So you say things very nicely, but what you're talking about is not necessarily very good. Does that make sense? It's just sense gratification. That's all. That's the... So that's the point. He says, unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts. So we can't take that view. We have to take the Veda view, which is about Krishna. That's the thing, is that you what do you call it? All extra ritualistic activities have been removed. And just the basic things. But because these basic things are required, because we're not used to that, because we're not used to a lifestyle that's not based on sense gratification, it seems like it's ritualistic. But actually, it's not. Does that make sense? Just like, let us say, okay, we get up early in the morning. We go to bed a little earlier. Now, people will say, well, that's a restriction. But if it's about God consciousness, is it a restriction? Does it facilitate God consciousness? Okay, now, let us say it is Friday night or Saturday night, right? So now, on the lifestyle of sense gratification, then would you go to bed early? No. But then that's a rule. But because everyone follows it naturally, then you don't see it as rules. But you have to go to bed late. You have to get up late. Right? Otherwise, it's Sunday morning. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? So they have to do those things. So it's not that they don't have their rules. Right? It's just that we don't know them. And that's what makes the different social context. You're from one group and not from another. Then you don't know the rules of the other group. You don't know the language. You don't know the lifestyle. Therefore, you're not part of that group. Right? So depending on your particular sense gratification, then you will then have a lifestyle. Right, so we are discriminating, we are restricting, we are doing those things. Right, does that make sense? It means you wouldn't see a preppy wearing skinny jeans. Right, does that make sense? So like that, they have their rules, what they'll wear, what they'll do, how they'll do. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. The guy in Wall Street won't be wearing his cuffs where they don't touch and no socks. Right? Does that make sense? But the guy who's running the thing does. You understand? So that's the whole thing. Is you have all these different... They all have their rules. Everybody has their rules. Right? Does that make sense? So that's then the consideration. Is that you would say? According to the particular group, it has its rules. Everybody has their rules. So the Vedic is favorable for Krishna consciousness. That's why then these things are put in place. And why do they have to be there? Because people in the material world, not knowing what is Krishna consciousness, because that hasn't been what we've done for unlimited lifetimes. Therefore, unless it's documented, how do you know what to do? Right? Being an animal, that we do nice, right? Because that, you just follow the modes. But if you want to conquer the modes, go beyond that, actually be independent, right? In other words, the person who just follows the modes, they're the one who in ignorance says, I am independent. And those who are actually following the regulated principles of freedom, they're the ones that are labeled that, oh, they're not free. Does that make sense?
Regarding the Vedic activities, you know, Prabhupada says that they cannot be performed in this age of Kali. Is it the reason because of which that throughout India we find that a particular activity which is directly related to Krishna is being performed in a particular place more elaborately and in another place less elaborate and in a very simple way? So is it that because it is not being followed throughout India consistently?
What it means here is that meditation, even if someone's into yoga on a daily basis, fitting it into their work schedule and life schedule, how much yoga will they do a day? 20 minutes if you're really fanatic, 40-45 minutes. Right, because 20 minutes, then you don't have to take a bath. And if it's 45, then, it takes more time. So then you might on the weekend or this or that, or, you're really into it. Are they ever controlling the breath, stopping the breathing, removing all material desire, focusing the mind on one spot, and then meditating on Vishnu, and then doing that in an asana that they can sit at, minimum 2 hours and 45 minutes straight?
On the bus.
Yeah, you have your limo designed just so instead of seats in the back, you have a yoga, thing like that. And then you could do that way. You could get in lots of yoga, couldn't you? especially in New York or L.A., right? 2 hours of yoga. Yeah. So is anybody able to do that? So out of that, what's the essential point? If I take off all of the different things that are there, what's the whole goal that you're trying to get to in this Sangha Yoga system?
Meditation on Krishna.
Yes. And so then, out of all those things, what's the one thing that we say that the devotee should always do?
Always serve Krishna.
You understand? That's what it's meant by this.
So for example, if I give an example of it was not raining and therefore the Parjani Yajna was being performed and that was elaborate for 7 days that was going on.
Yes.
And another place it just went on for 1 day. So like how can the Yajna which is being performed and gave the same result? It did rain.
Because that's according to the individuals and what they do, then it's there. But it's they're just going by still, it's all by Shastra. If it's by Shastra, it'll give the result.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not by Shastra, then it won't give the result. Means it's like in the Pancharatrik system, if it's in the Dwapara Yuga, you offer everything on solid gold utensils. And then after that one offering, then you throw them away. So, right? And it's said at first, and generally they would do things first class, no? So first class plate for offering is 36 inches wide. Right? So that means 90 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
That's your standard plate. Right? Okay, that's one plate. Then you have bowls, you have cups. So we're talking about kilos of gold here. And they'll throw it out.
They're not following this anymore?
No, it doesn't seem to be. You just have to go to the garbage, right?
You will be sent.
Yeah, we'd like to do some service. We're so full. We'll just take out the garbage. Okay, so that one, so is there. But what remains? Offering everything to Krishna. It said before, Patram Pushpam Pralam Toyam. Right? So that remains. That's what's meant by this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed.
Yeah.
So just essential points are performed. Because systematically means it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Technically you're going to sit down and purify the water in your Achman cup and then turn that into Ganga water, chanting mantras and doing things like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now you can start doing something in the puja. Right? Now, then you're going to have another pot that's there that you're going to do all the worship, invoking all the different personalities and everything like that. Now you have purified water for using in the puja, because that one that you made, that's just for you. Then you're going to get another pot, and after installing where it's going to sit and the different things, the ground, and then the rice that it's sitting on, then the pot itself, then the water in the pot, then the leaves in the pot, and everything else like that. Having done all that, invoked all the different, you know, potencies and all that, then you're going to install that pot. Now, having installed that pot, now you can say, now, you know, and then now we will then, now we can do, and then all the people that are involved and all the chanting the mantras, putting, tying the things on their wrists and all that, now they've taken the vrata that they're involved in this program. Right? All this now, it may have taken you some time, half an hour or more. Right? You're going to do the swasti, you're going to do all kinds of other things like this. What's the length of people's actual, you know, how you say, attention span?
30 seconds.
Hmm? 30 seconds. Yeah, okay. So, if you can get 20 minutes and things are moving, then nice. But here people sit, even they don't have to worry that there's constant movement, constant sound. You know what I'm saying? Means you've seen people doing yajnas, right? Okay. And there's a lot of space, gap, no sound, no activity, no both, sometimes both together. Yes? No?
Yes.
Have you ever seen one of our yajnas?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a moment where there's not sound or not movement?
Yes.
No. That's years and years and years of work. Figure out how to get that all so it, then it catches people's attention.
Yes.
Then people can sit there for 20 minutes or 45 minutes maximum. It means we can do yajna for much longer, but we found that people don't stay, so we broke it up. Instead of doing, you know, one yajna where we did everything, we break it up and then do everything over some weeks. You understand? Because otherwise people can't sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point, is that people can't systematically go through all that. That's systematically. Right, what I described there, we've only just started. That you'd do at the beginning of anything. Right? Then you're going to install all the pots and then the yagshala or the different mandalas or the different things like that, all that. And then finally, after hours of all this, then you're going to actually start the ritual that you're there to perform. So just in the preliminaries, you've already overdone what people can tolerate. And they'll do that twice a day. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the meaning of systematically. Then, so you just take the essence of that. What it's for, what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's left. That's what Lord Chaitanya, but it's recommended by the Shastras. So what does it mean? Always remember Krishna, never forget. So what aspects of this process will help you always remember and never forget? That's what you keep. You know, and something that, in other words, you keep those things that if you do more than this, it'll be a disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's the whole idea.
Maharaj, like the main reason for doing this is in Kali Yuga we perform, person cannot perform mental as well as physical austerities beyond a certain.
Yeah, no, unless it means for sense gratification they can do all kinds of things. You know? Like that, you know, it's like they can, you know, climb Everest. Now, is that not going to have physical and mental austerity? Great austerity, you know, there's risk of dying. You know, I mean, serious risk of dying. Like that. So, but because it's sense gratification, therefore people are willing to take that effort. But for spiritual life, for God consciousness, for understanding the soul, that then hardly anything. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. You know, boy, before it would be the person does yoga all day and then at a certain point goes out and does some begging to collect some rice and stuff to eat. Now they do 20 minutes of yoga and spend the whole day out collecting stuff to eat. You understand? So that's why then in this age the systematic we can't be done, because we only go through systems if we see the sense gratification we can gain from it. like that, and we're committed to it. And even that, how many people do it well? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point.
So basically, it's the degradation of the consciousness.
Like that, because that means, as far as animals go, then technically they don't have a job. But it's not that they don't work. You know, it's like, how much grass do you get in one mouthful? Right? So you have to spend all day walking around eating grass. Or if you're into bugs, how much time you have to spend, you know, trying to catch those bugs. You know what I'm saying? So they're working. But it, because they see the direct sense gratification there, then they're willing to do. So they have a nature that the modes of nature control, then they do that. But it matches for them. So we just want to follow those modes like an animal. So we have to be shown that, no, human life means you go through this particular process. But since at this age they're the closest to the animals, well, in Satyuga they're the farthest. So that's why they can do meditation and those things. You know, 60,000 years to meditate. You know, you live 100,000, you spend 60,000. You know what I'm saying? So, they're willing to put in that time. So, in this, because it's so close to, so basically you can say everyone's born animal, then and many just remain. So then, to come to the human, then you have to have all that regulation. So, therefore, what is the minimal regulation to get the essence of human life, which is becoming God conscious? So how much you need for that, then that is how much is being recommended. So when we say it's recommended, we can't say, well, all this is all over the top. No, it's not. Because the alternative is, it has just as much regulation.
Because we have to observe, like, just 10 to 15 years before any kind of yajna, it's like very elaborate. Even the viva, which they do, the main process itself is like goes for 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
Now the whole, everything 4 to 5 hours, everything is complete. Person came, went away, and
yeah. And but if you'll notice before what you're talking about, 4 to 5 hours for the ritual. Okay, who's sitting inside the mandap?
Both the families along with the...
But who from the families?
The parents.
Parents, the boy, girl, the priest. Everybody else is sitting around. What are they doing for 4 or 5 hours? Yeah, talking, this, prajalpa, everything like that. And then according to your community, what's important... Mangala Sutra or putting the sindoor, whatever is like your community is the important thing. Then at that point they'll all go, like this, and then everyone pays attention and like that and all that.
You pay attention just to see how much gold is being given.
Yeah, so I'm saying that's but still this community.
Yeah.
Means if it's the Sindhis, then it's how much money did the father give to the daughter, you know, for her to be independent if she needs to. That's the Sindhi thing. Oh, the father loves her so much, he gave her 10 lakhs, you know, so if she gets upset and wants to move out of the house and have her own apartment and all that, then, he loves her so much. And all the Sindhis are going, wow, that's really, that was a good wedding. So it'll be, you know, community. It's whatever's important, that's what they'll look at. Yeah. You know, it's like what it was in Jaipur. We went to this place. It was a house of the people who sell all the gems,
mm-hmm.
like that. So they're quite well-to-do. You know, big families. I think multi-story. You know, building. It wasn't like apartments. It was a huge place. And they were saying in their community, then at a wedding, minimum the girl's wearing 1 kilo of gold. Minimum. That's, you know, standard is 1 kilo. Like that. You know, so that's just, you know, how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, in other communities then it'll be this, you know.
So
Marwaris. So that's their thing. It has to be 1 kilo of gold, otherwise it's not, you know, what's the point? You know, like that. So yes, each commuter, but that's what I mean. That's what they'll notice. The other, how you say, 4 hours and 59 minutes of the ritual, nobody really cares. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're saying. And this is when it was, like you were saying, it was bigger. Like that. Now if you go back, now there'll be, you know, people much older will be talking about when they were younger than, you know. So it's just like that. Now if you come back after another 30 years and, you know, says, yeah, you know, before it was, the whole wedding would take, you know, 4 to 5 hours. And now it only takes, you know, an hour, hour and a half, you know. You know, or in Kerala, they'll say, yeah, before the families would come together and sit down under the tree and then exchange the garland. Now they don't even sit down. They just exchange the garland and walk off. You know, what's happening? You know, where's the tradition? You know, so, yes, that's why then the essence is given. Because if you understand the essence, then according to facility, you can do more or do less. But the point is, if you're going to do less, you want to make sure you get the essence. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point, is that you have to get that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's what you're trying to get, is that, okay, if you have nothing else, you get at least that much.
And Prabhupada gave alternative engagement for the rest of the time.
Yeah. So it's like that. So all the things are there. How to know what the essential point. So always remember Krishna, never forgetting. That's the essential point. So it's not we're saying, oh, being practical means we're cutting it down. But if in that practical, then you didn't make any profit, or, you know, some managerial thing wasn't accomplished, would we say it's practical? No, so there's some essential point that must be there. So why only the mechanical essential point should be there and not the conscious essential point? So human life means the consciousness. Animal life means the mechanics. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, say it's just like in mechanics, one of the main wrenches that they use for doing all kinds of variety of things. They call it a monkey wrench. Mm-hmm. And the guy who holds that monkey wrench is a grease monkey. You know, so you get the drift here? You know, so that's the point. The mechanics are, you know, not the specialness. It's the consciousness that's special. Then, if you have proper consciousness, then the mechanics take on a specialness. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is that it's the mechanics are an ornament for consciousness, not consciousness is an ornament for mechanics.
So Maharaj, now in the modern times, like as the years progress, even the subjects we study moves from consciousness to mechanics more, like the subject of mathematics.
Yeah, it'll just be what. Basically, it'll eventually come down to how much is actually useful in the workplace to make money. You know, so, you know, it's gone from a 4-year degree, 3-year, you'll see it just gets less and less. Because the actual point, you don't need that much. But the point is that you can make so much money off of all this that, you know, good to stretch it out. Does that make sense? So that's what it comes down to, is just the economic and social development. That's all that's there. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And this has proven very much effective in all places at all times. Right? So that essential point that everybody can do. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to teach us Vedic principles intended for understanding Him. Vedaish cha sa verdaham eva vedyah.
We are in Vishwanath
Chakravarti
Thakur's songs.
We are. Aha, okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the next verse is spoken to answer the potential challenge that the Lord's form is made of material sattva-gun. The demigods continue. O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Right? So knowing the Lord, then one can actually understand the difference between matter and spirit. Right? Otherwise, if you don't actually know the Lord as a person, you can't actually tell. Because the impersonalists, then what is matter, what is spirit? Everything's spirit, but then illusion's not spirit. It's not, it doesn't, it's non-existent. But then it's being dealt with. So they can't tell what is matter, and they can't tell what is spirit. Does that make sense? They actually don't know, because they'll say the jiva becomes Brahman, the total Brahman. The jiva is never, jiva is Brahman, but it's one kind of Brahman. The jiva is not the Brahma Jyotir. Right? The jiva is jiva tattva, that aspect of Brahman. So they can't even tell what's Brahman and what's material energy, though they're so smart. Right? So that's the whole point. Unless your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand, unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. So when you accept the transcendental form of the Lord, now you can tell the difference between matter and spirit. Otherwise, before that, you actually can't. That's why people who don't accept the Lord's form never get out of the Mahatattva. They always stay within the material world because they can't actually distinguish. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, footnote 26. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 35 to Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakura's book. And so this explains the Lord's energies and how it's through his internal potency. Then he appears himself, and then his other potencies, the external potency, and these aspects. That. So then, through the Lord's energies, you can understand the Lord. But those energies are based on the Lord. They're founded on the Lord. Srila Prabhupada comments, only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can one understand Him. Those who are in the modes of material nature, although speculating for thousands of years, cannot understand Him. The Lord has innumerable forms, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan, Brahma Samhita 5:39. And unless these forms, such as Lord Ramachandra, Nishingadev, Krishna, and Balaram, were transcendental, how could they be worshipped by devotees since time immemorial? Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tattvataha, Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, and other incarnations who are not of this material world but who come from the spiritual world for the benefit of people in general. So that connection with the Lord as a person following the rules and regulations that are given for that worship, they can understand the Lord. So in other words, the Lord is transcendental. We can't know Him without His grace. So then, if we want to know transcendental, we have to be interested in transcendental. Therefore, the rules and regulations are connected with the transcendental lifestyle. That's why they're there. Then following them, that's what we do. So if there's a doubt about a regulation that's been given, that's recommended for us, then the point is not that because I don't understand, I throw it out. It's a matter of, I don't understand. How does this help in be Krishna conscious? Right? Not because I don't see it, therefore it doesn't exist. Because the point is you won't understand it. Because material consciousness, intelligence, mind, can't understand transcendental. So if we're given all these things to recommend it, that these are part of the transcendental process, we won't understand them. Unless we understand, get the Lord's mercy. How is that going to come? By wanting that mercy. How is that? By following the directions given by the Lord. That's why we do what is there. We're following these rules because that's what's given. We're not following these rules because it's Vedic or it's Hindu or it's this or that. We're following because this is what the acharyas recommend. This is how you're going to know Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, by what one is influenced by the presence of the transcendental form, and devotees who awaken, they awaken, their transcendental is wanting, means being receptive.
Yes, yes, because that the means the soul by nature is God conscious. It's transcendental. That's its natural position. So as soon as we awaken to that concept and make that prominent in our mind, that's when you can say is now this you know person is bhagya or fortunate, right? So they're in the process of waking up. They're not conditioned. They're not liberated, right? Because the consciousness is in between. So they're fortunate because they're moving towards that transcendental state of devotion. So those who awaken their transcendental nature, right? So that's it. That's the nature that's there. But it's been covered, so it's like being asleep. The example is given. Then when you take up Krishna consciousness, like being awake. So, yeah. If one does not take to this process, one imagines or manufactures some form of God according to material qualities and can never awaken a real understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one will imagine or manufacture, unless Scripture is saying, then what is the reason that you're doing something? What is God? What does He do? Right? Is He all He does is just fulfill the results of our fruitive endeavor? Okay? So then, what's His position? Why is He doing that? You know what I'm saying? So this is, without having an understanding of that, this is not pure knowledge. So that this is actually an imagined form, because is that what God's doing? Is that that's what His business is? No, the modes of nature, karma will take care of that. So that means Maya, His energy is doing that. He's not doing that. So then to attribute this to them, that's imaginary. So technically, what does that mean? That means that's idol worship, right? Because one of the deities in the mind, so this is it's idol worship. So that's the interesting thing. If you're following according to the Vedic standards, then technically you're not worshiping idols. Everybody else, even if they're monotheistic, technically they're worshiping idols. Because they have an imagined form. Right? He's going to do all this. Okay. And why would he do that? You know, he has his preferences. Okay, so then he is a person. What does he look like? Oh, he doesn't have a form. So this is all imagined. Right? But that the concept that there is a supreme, he is a person, he does set the standards and laws, we're trying to follow them, we're not going to disturb that. That's the good part. It's just that it's not complete enough where it goes all the way through to they have an actual understanding of God. So they have some kind of understanding that God has laws and we should follow them. But they don't have much actual understanding of God Himself. Or He's created the world, but then now He stops, and now to make the world perfect, now then the living entities do that. But if God's perfect, why couldn't He make it perfect in the first place? And if His solution to making perfect is having us making it perfect, that's not actually very perfect. Because we're not doing a very good job. Understand? So these are flawed concepts of God. Does that make sense? You know, so these are what it means, is that if one does not take to this process, one imagines or manufactures some form of God according to the material qualities. We're not necessarily talking about a totem pole here, you know, or a Ra. You know, we're talking about that the whole concept of God is manufactured. So just there's different levels of this manufacturing. Does that make sense? So you have the sensual, you have the atheistic, you have the theistic. You know, you have the aspect of liberation. They're all material, but there is a hierarchy. So higher up they go, the more is there. Right? Does that make sense? But it only becomes real knowledge when it comes to the transcendental form of the Lord, when it's bhakti. That's when it becomes real. Otherwise, before this, is actually material. Though, there's gradations of material qualities. So we'll say that Someone on pranamoy is better than anamoy. Someone on manamoy is better than on pranamoy. Someone on vijnanamoy is better than on manamoy. Right? Does that make sense? So, the point is, he's a person, but then he doesn't have a form. They're going on this thing of you know, that idea he's transcendental. But they don't actually understand what transcendental means. So that's why it's still material. Does that make sense? So we can say, as of philosophies, this is, you know, quite elevated. But it's just elevated within the mundane. But such a person coming in contact with real knowledge, if they're actually interested, an actual seeker, then they will be able to appreciate and then take that step forward from the position that they were originally in. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's why we don't disturb that. We take the essence of what is doing and take that forward. That's the preaching. Right?
We try to make them into seekers.
Yes, but don't get too much on the seeker thing. Because then, does that make sense? Like we said before, you know. Otherwise, you may end up on a broom somewhere. Yes. The words bhakti imam abhijanati avanyas chasvi tattvataha signify that unless one worships the Lord according to the regulated devotional principles, one cannot awaken the transcendental nature. That's why they're there. Because we're already following a regulative, how you say? What would be the term for, you know, the opposite of freedom?
Bondage.
So we're following the regulative principles of bondage. You know, like that. So, therefore, we have to switch and get used to the regulative devotional principles, the regulative principles of freedom. Right? You know, that's what we're trying to do. So it's not that, oh, this is unnatural. In one sense, you could say it is. But if you go by that, as far as kids are going, then, you know, taking their bath, putting on clothes, you know, doing something at a particular time, this is all unnatural. Like that. You know, how many kids want to shave their head? None. Right? How many want to take a bath? Not very many. So, you know, so like this, how many want to wear clothes? No. So basically what we would have is a planet full of cousin its walking around. You know. No? Yeah. And that would be like that. But you can't guarantee everybody's got straight hair. So so it might be a bit weird. Yeah. Deity worship, even the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. So, even we're performing this worship, the Lord's not there. Meaning, we're here, we're worshiping in the temple, he's not there in his apricot lila. No, yeah. Means he's not that apricot lila that's there so we can see, it's apricot. But it's still there. Or we can even say the lifestyle, the pancharatric lifestyle of deity worship, that itself, if we follow all the aspects of it, it includes all the hearing, chanting, association of devotees, taking prasad, all these different aspects, studying about the Lord. So then we will progress. So even if the deity's not there, we're just in our own position following these regulative principles, it still will awaken. And we'll become more and more attached to the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why it's such a perfect system. Because everything about it reminds you of Krishna. Well, if you say, no, but we're modern man, why we should do all this? This is all Hindu stuff. But the point is what about the modern lifestyle will remind you of God? Mainstream. Nothing. Right? Because in mainstream, are you going to sit and hold hands and say grace before you start eating? Right? No. And then that's a religious thing. You're going to say your barucha? No. Why? Because that's considered religious. So the mainstream, it doesn't have anything in it that will remind you of God. Anywhere. Right? Anyhow. You understand? It's not designed. So saying that, no, I'll live this lifestyle and I'll become fully God conscious. How will that work? Because then you're depending upon your own self alone, your own material qualifications to do that. And Krishna isn't impressed with material qualifications. So only if you're using qualifications that he recommends, then that you're doing it because of consideration of him, then it means something. But if it's only in consideration of ourselves that we're not doing it, how will that be progressive? You can't even guarantee that you'll be able to maintain your body, your social status, your relationships. You can't guarantee any of that. Modern culture can't guarantee that. They can't say that this is the right thing to make it all work. And if anybody does, generally it goes back to religious concepts. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here, that's why then, by deity worship, even the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. That's what Lord Chaitanya is giving. That process by which, following it, you become attached to the Lord. Not that you become, you know, greatly opulent, great scholar, great pundit, great performers of rituals, or conquerors of the ten directions. We're talking about you become God conscious, because before, the great kings, the great sages, all the great personalities, their activities brought them to God consciousness, right? And they accomplished great mundane things at the same time. But since we can't do all those great mundane things, we can only do the essential spiritual. That's the fun part. Those who are so committed to the mundane actually don't have any qualification to get anything done in the mundane. So the only qualification is the qualification of the soul. They can be God conscious. Because on the material platform, how many people can be wealthy? But if you look at when you went into any of these big cities, you walk, the boulevards were lined with palaces. How many cities have boulevards lined with palaces? Not just, okay, the king's palaces, though. And there's a boulevard going up, leading up to. We're talking about that's there also. But the boulevards leading in from the gate, then that's a lot of palaces both sides. And these aren't small cities. So, material qualification is there. But the essence is God consciousness. So, since materially we're kind of not very qualified, at least get the God consciousness. Then if one can in some way qualify yourself, which is the way it works, because by adding bhakti it makes it work, then we add that also. But even if we don't, that we're God conscious, then that's enough. We go back to Godhead. All these problems that are talked about go away. Like that. Yeah, there's no you don't have any problems of Wall Street bankers or Lincoln lawyers or any of these guys. They're not there. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini. Thank you.